Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to our program today, and we hope that everything is well with you today as you're getting up and getting about this Sunday morning. As we start the program this morning, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of the Beatitudes of the Book of Revelation? You're probably saying, well, I've heard of the Beatitudes in the Bible, the blessings that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 5, but Beatitudes in the Book of Revelation, what's that about? We'll be talking about that in the program this morning, so stay tuned. We'll get into the Beatitudes of the Book of Revelation in just a minute. But before we do that, I want to invite you to come out and be with us this morning at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. We meet at 9 o'clock this morning for Bible study and worship assembly. We'd love for you to come out, be with us, and study your Bible with us, honor the God of heaven, do the things that He's asked us to do to show our adoration toward Him in worship. If you can't be with us, if you're not able to come out, check us out online. Our services are live streamed on our Facebook page. You can go to Eastside Church of Christ in Athens on Facebook, or you can check out our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Go there and click on the media tab and the live streaming. But come out and be with us this morning if you can be. We'd love to get to know you, meet you, and have a chance to study God's Word with you. Well, what about that question? Have you heard of the Beatitudes of the Book of Revelation before? In the book of Matthew, of course, Jesus speaks what are commonly known as the Beatitudes. Each of them starts with a blessing. Blessed are the poor, he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, so on and so forth. So he says there are certain people who are blessed for certain reasons. A beatitude is actually just a blessing. The word blessed is a word that's translated from a Greek word, makarios, and it just means to be well off, to be happy, in a happy state of being, to be someone who is favored by God. The word beatitude actually comes out of the Latin, and it means pretty much the same thing. So the blessings that Jesus pronounces there in Matthew chapter 5 are the ones that are really well known as the Beatitudes, but the book of Revelation has a number of blessings in it as well. They're not all in one section like Jesus speaking those Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, all there together. But in the book of Revelation, there are a number of blessings that are pronounced on the people of God for various reasons, and I think they're worth looking at. You know, the book of Revelation is not one that is studied by a lot of folks for practical day-to-day things. Most people look at the book of Revelation as a very difficult book, one obviously that's filled with visions that John has while he's on the Isle of Patmos, exiled for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it is while he is on that island and sees these visions from God, which show him things that relate to the future, which must shortly take place, as he puts it in Revelation 1 and verse 1, he is given information about, as we've said, a number of blessings that the people of God can enjoy. And John is writing to Christians who are living in a very, very difficult time. There's persecution by Rome that they're facing. John himself has been, as I said, exiled basically to an island prison for preaching the gospel. A lot of Christians were suffering persecution of one kind or another. Some were losing their lives for their faith. So John is writing the book of Revelation in what was certainly a difficult time for Christians, and yet he says that there are blessings that we can have, or God inspires him to tell us that message, that there are good things that we can experience in Christ. So let me give you an example of that. As you start in Revelation chapter 1, in verse 3, John says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Two times in the first three verses of the book of Revelation, John indicates that he is not prophesying about things that are going to come thousands of years later, but the things that John prophesies about, by and large, are going to happen fairly shortly. He says, you remember in verse 1, that he's writing the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. That's how the book of Revelation begins. I think a lot of people think Revelation is all about the end of time or things that would happen thousands of years after John wrote them. John plainly says right in the first sentence that these things would shortly take place. And then in the verse that we just read, we've learned that we are blessed if we read and hear the words of this prophecy. I wonder how many of you have read the book of Revelation. You know, there's a blessing in reading the words of the prophecy of the book of Revelation, not just taking people's word for what's in Revelation or listening to wild theories about the interpretation of Revelation. Why don't we read it ourselves? Why don't we study it ourselves? And if we need some guidance or help, call us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We'll be happy to sit down and study the book of Revelation or any Bible book with you. You know, the phone number here at the building is 256-232-4666. You can call us and set up a Bible study time. We'd be happy to study the Word of God with you. But the point right now is that John is saying there's a blessing in reading the book of Revelation. And there's a blessing in reading Scripture generally. The Bible is the most important and yet the most neglected book of all time. But we are blessed when we read it and hear it, because it is God's Word. And we are blessed also when we keep those things that are written in it. We'll talk about that some more in just a little bit. Back in the Old Testament times, in the days of Nehemiah, the people realized that God's book didn't need to be neglected. They didn't have all of the writings of the Bible that we have, but they had quite a few. And they hadn't been faithful about keeping up with what it said. And you open the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1, and it says that all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. And that's just a beautiful picture. It's God's people wanting to know what God's word says. And that's where there's such a blessing in that. God's people not wanting to hear a bunch of fancy stories, not wanting to be told things, you know, giving some sort of a counseling session or something like that, but wanting to know actually what the book of God says. There's a blessing, a great blessing in that. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy to give attention to reading. One translation says, give attention to public reading. But in other words, pay attention, listen to what the book of God says. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul talks about the writing that he did by inspiration of God. And he says, when you read, you can understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. There's such a blessing in reading God's word found in his book. Revelation has a lot of great things in it, including the blessings, the beatitudes that we're talking about today, but a lot of great other things too. It's difficult to understand. Sure it is. It's written in highly symbolic language that much of it goes back to things that were written in the Old Testament. So it takes a lot of understanding of the whole Bible really before you can understand Revelation very well. Nonetheless, there's a blessing in reading it. There's a blessing in reading all of God's word. So we should give attention to reading, as Paul told Timothy. When we read, we can understand. We can understand things even that the great Apostle Paul understood, as he says there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. So blessed is the one who reads and hears the words of God. That's what John wants us to know. How much do you like to read and listen to the words of God? I know people who have the Bible on audio, either digitally or in some other way, and they just love to listen to that over and over and over because they love God's Word. I know people who spend a lot of time just reading God's Word. Here at Eastside, practically the whole congregation is reading from God's Word. We have making it reading through the Bible on a regular basis. We enjoy doing that because it's God's word and he's speaking to us, and there's a blessing in just listening to what God has to say. Another beatitude that you have in the book of Revelation is found in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. John says, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow them. So it's a blessing when a person dies in the Lord. You know, we all have to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, appointed unto man once to die, but after that comes the judgment, and we're going to be judged by our works. John is clear to tell us about that toward the end of the book of Revelation, when in Revelation 20 he describes the throne scene, when everybody comes before the throne of God. And he says that they were judged, everyone, each one, according to their works. So we're all going to die, unless the Lord comes first. We're all going to die, and we're all going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ at some point, and we're going to be judged by our works, by the things that we've done. If we die in the Lord, we'll be blessed. We'll be blessed because the Lord will have forgiven us our sins, our bad works, the things we've done that are not good, will be have forgiven, forgotten, and blotted out of the record. And our good works will be the things that we take to the judgment. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul there is describing the second coming of Christ. And he's talking about how it's going to be a great day for those who are in the Lord, for those who have put on Christ. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. This is 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So here we're seeing again the dead who've died in the Lord, and maybe they've been dead here a long time, and Christ comes back. And he's going to bring with him those who sleep in him. That in other words, those who've been in him, have died, and are still in a relationship with him heading into eternity. Paul goes on to say, this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, those are comforting words, aren't they? To know that those who are in Christ, who have passed on, who've died, who've fallen asleep, however you want to say that, that when Christ comes again, they'll be raised with him. They'll be coming with him. What a wonderful, wonderful thought to have eternal life. But it's only for those who have died in the Lord. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, John said there in Revelation 14, 13. Well, what do you have to do to be in the Lord? Well, it comes about by believing on him, being baptized into him for the remission of your sins. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And we're baptized into Christ. That's how we get into him. For Romans 6 and verse 3 and Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 both tell us that we're baptized into Christ. That as many of us have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's how we get to him and into him in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. So what a blessing it is to, when we die, die in the Lord. And so because of that, there's another blessing that we need to think about, that another beatitude that Revelation talks about. It's Revelation 16 and verse 15, where John says, behold, I am coming as a thief. He's speaking for Christ. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So a person is blessed who watches and keeps his garments, which is to say, keeps himself pure. There's this picture in the book of Revelation of God's people wearing robes that are washed white in the blood of the Lamb. It represents how the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sins, as if we had, you know, robes that were soiled with sins, and here we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are truly blessed if, when Christ comes again, we are ready for him to come again because our lives are pure and we have been washed in his blood. And it's only careful and vigilant and pure living that will enable this. The blessing is, blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments. So you just can't, you know, go through life without being concerned about soiling yourself with sin. You need to be concerned about that, and you need to be concerned about getting it cleansed when you do sin, getting it cleansed through the blood of Christ. You need to be very watchful about that. Watch and keep your garments. And the thing is, if you're watchful and you take care of that all of the time, you'll be ready whenever Jesus comes. We don't know when he's going to come. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2, "You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night, when they say peace and safety, and sudden destruction will come upon them, labor pains as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." In other words, if you're prepared as a child of God, it doesn't matter when he comes. It's not like the thief is going to come at some hour you don't know. Well, Christ is going to come at some hour we don't know, but if we're ready, it doesn't matter what that hour is. Peter says the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." He says, "The heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." Peter's describing the coming of the day of the Lord, coming in judgment on those who are wicked and evil and not in him and haven't obeyed the gospel, and coming to take into eternal bliss those who are prepared. It's a blessing to be prepared when the Lord comes. So watch, keep your garment clean, and be prepared. He's coming as a thief in the night. We can be ready all the time, though, if we'll be in him, have this relationship in him, and be vigilant. And so Peter there goes on to say in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." That's exactly what John is saying to us in Revelation, that we're blessed if we're watching and we're spotless when Jesus comes. What a blessing that is. Peter says, be diligent to be found in him without spot and blameless when he comes. That's the blessing that John is talking about again in Revelation. He says in Revelation 3 and verse 3, "Remember how you have received and heard, and hold fast. If you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know the hour that I come." So we must hold fast, and we must keep God's word. This is the next of the Beatitudes I'd like us to look at in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7, John says something here toward the end of the book that he said right there at the beginning in Revelation 1 and verse 3. But speaking again, the words of Jesus, the Lord says, Revelation 22 and verse 7, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Again, we want to be keeping God's word. We want to be doing as we're instructed to do, believing what we're instructed to believe, keep what's in the book. That's particularly talking about the book of Revelation, but the same is true of all of God's book, of course. The entirety of the Bible is something that we should know, follow, and apply as is appropriate to our lives. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I want you to notice also in this blessing that there's a bit of a warning here too. Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Now, please notice he doesn't say, "I'm coming soon." He says, "I'm coming quickly," which goes along with the idea he's coming as a thief in the night. It'll happen suddenly when Christ comes again. We need to be ready all the time. He hasn't said exactly when he's coming again, but he's coming, and we need to be ready all the time. He's coming quickly when he comes. There won't be time, to get your life all right. It's not like that Jesus is going to give people extra time. That's not going to go into overtime. I know there are those who misinterpret the book of Revelation and think that, there's going to be some sort of a seven-year period where people who've messed up, they still get to live and maybe choose to do good, and that's not in the book at all. There's 7-year tribulation that's mentioned, but it doesn't have anything to do with some of the theories that are thrown out about it. But my point right now is we need to be ready when he comes, because he's coming quickly. We need to be hearing and doing God's word. That's what makes one blessed, not just hearing it. Notice he says, blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book, not just the one who hears it. James had told us in James chapter 1 and verse 25, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. You know, keeping the word of God has a couple of connotations with it. It means that you remember it. You keep it in your heart. It means that you don't change it. You keep it as it is. In other words, the word keep can mean preserve. So we preserve God's word. We don't change it up to our own liking or our own opinions, but we preserve the word of God. And then we do the word of God. So keeping God's word involves doing it as well. There's that blessing in keeping the word of God. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And we're blessed, especially if we are part of the church, which is the bride of Christ. That's the next of the Beatitudes in Revelation, next of the blessings in the book of Revelation that we want to look at. Revelation 19 and verse 9 says, he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Well, the marriage supper of the Lamb, what is that? Well, the Bible depicts the church as the bride of Christ. Christ loves the church and gave himself for it, just as a husband is to love his wife. Ephesians chapter 5 teaches us that. But often in Scripture, the invitation to heaven itself is depicted as an invitation to a wedding feast. You can find that in Matthew 22, Matthew 25. The church, the saved, as we've said, is in fact the bride of Christ. What's depicted there in Revelation 19, before this blessing is pronounced, blessed are those who called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, in verses 7 and 8, just prior to that, heaven says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So here is the bride of Christ, the church, and she's clothed in the good things that Christians have done. The word saints in the New Testament refers to those who are holy, who've been made holy by the blood of Jesus. It's used synonymously with the word Christian or disciples of Christ, followers of Christ. Well, here, those who are saints are adorning, if you will, the beauty of the bride. It is the good things that Christians do that make the church beautiful, or more beautiful, we should say. She's beautiful because she's been chosen by Christ. But what a blessing it is to be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, to be united with Christ as part of the church in all eternity. John sees some more about this in later on in the book of Revelation. He says in Revelation 21 and verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And as John goes on and describes surely what represents to us what heaven would be like, in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 9, he talks about how there's one of the angels comes to him and talks with him and says, come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And then he shows him this heavenly city where the light of God the Father and God the Son is all the light that is needed. And people come and walk in the glory of that light and serve their Creator for all eternity. What a wonderful thought. So the church, which is the body of the saved, united with Christ in eternity, that's the bride of Christ. What a beautiful and wonderful union that is. Truly, truly, how blessed one is who is called to the marriage supper of the Lamb and who gets to participate in that. Well, the last of the blessings that we'd like to look at from the book of Revelation, the last of the Beatitudes, if you will, in the book of Revelation, Revelation 22 and verse 14. As the book winds down, John writes this, Revelation 22 and verse 14. He says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates, into the city." Blessed are those who do his commandments. That's the New King James Version here. We're blessed if we do God's commandments. And the reason is that we might have the right to the tree of life. What is the tree of life? Well, it's what man was separated from in the beginning. You remember Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and God drove them out of the Garden of Eden, lest they take of the tree of life and live forever. The tree of life is that which provides for us eternal life. It represents eternal life itself. Mankind was separated from it because of sin, but in heaven, we're reunited with eternal life. We have access to it again, if you will. The whole Bible story really is about man being separated from eternal life because of sin, and then being reunited, having access again to the tree of life, to eternal life, because Christ has taken care of our sins. We've been forgiven through his blood. But we have to keep his commandments. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. If you want the right to the tree of life, to eternal life, you have to do what Jesus says. Jesus himself said, Matthew 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." You have to do what God said. We can't just keep on living like we want to live. We must walk the path that leads to life. We must take the way that leads to life. And that involves doing what Jesus said. Jesus in Luke chapter 13 and verse 24 says, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and not be able." Yeah, the way that leads to life goes through a narrow gate, and it involves doing the things that God has commanded. I know that's not a popular teaching today. Lots of folks want to pretend like we don't have to do anything, and that even some say we can't do anything that will move us along on the way that leads to life so that we can enter into the heavenly city. But over and over again, the Bible says we must do his commandments. In the book of Hebrews, we find the Hebrew writer talking about people in the Old Testament age, those Israelites who came out of Egyptian slavery, and yet many of them, virtually all of the adults, did not make it to the Promised Land. And the reason that they didn't make it to the Promised Land is because they disobeyed God, and they didn't believe God. You might remember the incident with the spies who went in to spy out the land, and they came back, and most of them said, "Well, we can't do it. There are giants in the land. We need to go back to Egypt." In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 18, the Hebrew writer is talking about those to whom God said they would not enter his rest, and it was those who did not obey. He goes on to say, we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. In other words, they couldn't make it to the Promised Land. They didn't make it to the Promised Land because of unbelief. We must obey, believe and obey the commandments of God. So are you blessed? Are you blessed in these ways that Revelation has talked about with us today? Do you read and hear God's word? Are you watchful and prepared for his coming? Are you part of the church, the bride of Christ, because you've been baptized into Christ? Do you keep God's word? Do you do his commandments? Will you die in the Lord? These are the ways that you can be blessed as you walk the way that leads to life.